song. And one of my favorite songs is not necessarily Christine's, but I like it because it's the last little part, the little alto thing that we sing. It's the living glory. Now it goes, glory. And I went, Christine. The same glory. I wait for her. The same glory. The lesson this evening is simply a couple words, if only and next time. If, and I don't have an outline tonight for you, if only, never said that before, if only, but then next time. Saw a bulletin years and years ago, I used to get a bulletin from a preacher friend of mine in Texas, and he had an article in that bulletin by Joe Barnett. Now, you probably don't know that name, but he's a preacher from Texas, a lot older than I am, but Joe Barnett, he had an article, and he made reference to this story. He said in a 1968 Reader's Digest article entitled, Two Words to Avoid, Two Words to Remember, and the author was Arthur Gordon, he said, nothing in life is more exciting and rewarding than the sudden flash of insight that leaves you a changed person, changed for the better. Such moments are rare certainly, but they come to all of us, sometimes from a book, sermon, a line of poetry, sometimes from a friend. And then Joe Burnett's comments are, says Gordon, this author, Mr. Gordon told about a time in his own life when a certain object which was extremely important to him had failed. He was terribly depressed because of the failure. He called an 80-year-old friend who was a trained and skilled counselor, asking for an appointment. They met for lunch. And while they were eating, Mr. Gordon related what had happened. And he also told about his bitterness about the failure. Mr. Gordon took pride in his honesty, laying the blame exactly where it belonged. He admitted that all the wrong moves had been his own fault. After a while, his friend said, Arthur, let's go back to my office. When they got there, the counselor put a tape in the recorder. It shows you how old the story is. But he said, before pushing the on button, he said, now, Arthur, on this tape, there are three short statements made by people who came to see me looking for help. I want you to listen very carefully and see if you can pick out the two-word phrase that's a common denominator in all three of these cases. He played the tape. Gordon said the only thing he saw which was common to all three was that all three of them were terribly unhappy. The first man who had failed in a business venture was beating himself because he hadn't worked harder. Second was a woman who never married because of a sense of obligation she felt to her widowed mother. She was bitterly recalling all the marriage opportunities that she had and missed out on. The third was a mother whose teenage son was in trouble with the law. She was blaming herself for it. The friend said, Arthur, six times in those recordings, there's a two-word phrase that's used that's full of subtle poison. Did you spot it? Mr. Gordon replied, no, I don't guess I did. Friend said, that may be because you used that phrase yourself three times while we were talking a little while ago. The phrase is on this tape box. He threw the box across the desk to him, and there in big red letters were two words. If only. If only. So Brother Barnett said how frequently people begin sentences with, if only. If only I'd acted differently. If only I hadn't lost my temper. If only I hadn't been dishonest. If only I hadn't been so selfish. And then Brother Barnett mentions, the counselor probably said, usually people go on and talk like that until I stop them and I tell them, if only you'd stop saying, if only. So he said, what's the remedy? It's simply this. You have to strike those two words, if only, out of your vocabulary and substitute these other two words, next time. Next time. If only does it really change anything. Keeps you looking in the wrong direction. But when you're looking to next time, you're showing a willingness to apply the lessons learned from experience. I remember about 20 years ago now, that Christine had an RN working with her at the blood bank in the office where she was down here, South Bay. And that particular RN committed suicide, disclosed all the shades in her house. She undressed, went to the bathroom, and slit her all the arteries. She died, and then their preacher, wasn't me, but their preacher, when at the funeral, gave a similar lesson to this article that Brother Barnett wrote. The idea is thought that many of the people in that audience would be saying, because they were probably saying, you know, if only I'd known she was going to do that, I would have done something. And he went on several ways like that. If only, but he almost gave this little article that Brother Barnett quoted from, and he said, you need to say next time. Next time. So number one, people can change. People can change. I'm going to give you just a couple examples in our lesson this evening. The Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. You're familiar with it. Once I start the verse, you can finish it. But Philippians 3, verse 13, part of it says, Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that hadn't always been that way for Paul. When he first enters the scene in the Bible, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, he is consenting to the death of Stephen. And in Acts 8, verse 3, he's making havoc or persecuting the church. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. But in Acts 9, verse 3, there's that word suddenly. And then that's the appearance of the Lord to him on that road to Damascus. And you might say, you know, that's when his world all of a sudden might crash in on him. He has this encounter with Jesus that caused him to realize that he was his direction in life was entirely wrong. He was persecuting God's people. But now he has a different set of problems. No longer pride, but now despair. What have I done? Now, how is Paul, or Saul at the time, going to keep from hating himself for the things that he did? If only I'd known earlier. How can Paul or Saul keep from living with the guilt of all of those actions of persecutions against the church and making havoc on the church? If only. He could have said, you know, if only I hadn't. But in this text that he writes to the church of Philippi, he's determined to forget and say, next time. Next time. One thing I do, forgetting the things that are past, press on. Press on. David is another example. He took Uriah's life after he committed sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And in 2 Samuel 12, the story is in verses 1 through 7, David is angry when he hears the story that Nathan tells him. And Nathan, at the end of the story, finishes, and David said, "We need to get that guy." And Nathan says, "Thou art the man." So now David is guilty of being an adulterer and a murderer. His child dies also in 2 Samuel 12, verse 19. David, do you have any regrets? If only. If only I wasn't out there. If only I did something different. If only I could eliminate this guilt that I feel right now. But David gives a remedy. It's like Paul did, forgetting the things. I press on. David, in his Psalm 32, verses 1 and 5, he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Then he said, "I acknowledge my my sin to thee. I did not hide my iniquity. Then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. There's a remedy. Yeah, if only. But next time. Next time. Look at Simon Peter. In Matthew 26, verse 35. Peter said to him, meaning to Jesus, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Jesus, you can always count on me. I'll be there through thick and thin. It doesn't matter. I'll die with you. But in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 69, Peter does deny Jesus three times. And he goes out, the Bible says, and wept bitterly. I think Peter might have said, if only. If only. He could have drowned in his sorrow. He could have went a different direction. If Peter, you have any regrets? Oh yes, if only I didn't do that. Feel guilty? Sure do. I cried over that. If only. But then Jesus, after his resurrection, calls his disciples and he mentions Peter specifically in John 21, verse 17. He says, feed my sheep. Next time, Peter. Next time. So there's people, yes, people can change. And we know lots of people will have those kinds of regrets. And we'll, in your life and mine, we'll say, if only. If only. But now let's look at some things we need to forget. And I'll close with just a couple short list of things here. Things we need to forget. Remember the story of an interview with an executive, and the reporter was asking this businessman, says, to what do you attribute your ability? He says, to my good judgment. He says, to what do you attribute your good judgment? He says, to my experience. He says, then what to what do you attribute your experience? He says, my poor judgment. That's kind of the way it is in life. Where'd you get your good judgment? From my poor judgment through life. So now I have good judgment. We'll make blunders. But don't relive them. Rather, we want to learn from them and in one way forget them. But number one, forget the stupid things we've said. Easier said than done. Especially since my brother reminds me so much of the stupid things I've said. Or my wife does. Sometimes she gets hysterical. She gets historical, I remember. But we've all said our share, some more than others, wrong things. Sure have. And we need to live by the same conclusion as the executive in the illustration. To what do you attribute your good judgment, my poor judgment? Yeah. Some things that we've said that we need to forget once we've taken care of it correctly. Number two, along the same line, the sins we've committed. The sins we've committed. We need to learn what to do with forgiven sins. There's a mistake in going through life saying, if only I hadn't committed that. If only I hadn't done that, now what we think of that horrible thing. And the consequences may have been severe. But we may be thinking, still saying, if only. So now the important question is, have I confessed it to God? Or the question is, have I received forgiveness? Have I, to the best of my ability, lived a penitent life? And if we answer yes to those questions, then forget it. Forget it. Forget the sin. Others, like I said, others may not let you. However, I need to try to forget that sin that I've committed and quit saying if only. I can't go through life with a sense of moral failure. That bag of rocks is too hard to carry. No one can constantly carry that kind of load if what you've said and what you've done is heavy and hard to bear. And if it's constant, some things I can live with once I know that they're going to end soon. But if you can never forget that, you can't put it in the past or park it or put it in the right place, it's going to be a hard burden to bear. People, when I was teaching special ed in elementary school, even John mentioned one time, said, how can you do that? And I said to John, he reminds me of every once in a while, So I told John, I said, John, I can live with anything for 7 hours in a day. Knowing there's an end, I can live with what's happening right now. But if you don't see an end in sight, that's a hard burden to bear. So we need to sometimes get rid of the words, if only, and replace it with the words next time. Our hope rests on the promises of God when it comes to forgiveness. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, I've used this illustration before. Why didn't God say how far the north is from the south? Why did he say the east is from the west? Because I'll give you the answer. Because if you walk north, you're going to reach something that's called a north pole. Once you reach that north pole, you take one more step, you're going south. No matter which way you turn from that pole, one step, you're going south. You go south and you reach what they call a south pole. You get to there, you take one more step and you've reached north, you're going north now, no matter what way you turn. The north and the south pole are 12,300 miles apart. So if God said, I'm going to throw your sins away as far as the north is from the south, I know exactly how far God threw them. But he said, I'm going to cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. You start walking east, you will never meet west. You go down the equator, and you start walking east, you just keep walking, you will keep walking and walking and walking. There is no such thing as an east and west pole. God says, I'm going to take care of your sins when you confess them. I'm going to cast them away as far as the east is from the west. You may meet somebody walking west, but east never meets west. So that's what God said. And I want to believe that. When God says, I'll cast your sins, I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. In 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that. So in my relationship with God, when I bring my sins to Him, my faith and my trust is I can forget those things. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Remember no more. I believe that. So I sometimes say that's why it ought to be so easy to come to God. Because we know what He's going to do with our sins. So don't we have to say, if only. So forget some of the stupid things we've said. Our sins, we need to learn from them. Then we can forget them. But then the next one, the sins and injustices committed against us. And this is the last one. The sins committed against us. If you've ever lived long enough, and I know all of us here have, we've been wronged by somebody. Somebody's done something to us that we haven't appreciated. And we're having a hard time forgiving them. Still remember, I remember what they did to me 15 years ago, 30 years ago. I still remember that. And then you just say, well, Dad, you forgive them. Oh, I forgive them, but I still remember. Yeah, I sure do. Jesus said, forgive us the wrongs we've done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Or in that prayer in Matthew 6, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive others the debts against us. Or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. The example is Joseph. In Genesis 37, verse 4, they hated him, meaning his brothers. They hated him, could not speak peaceably to him. All of these verses are in Genesis 37. Verse 8, they hated him yet the more. Verse 11, his brothers envied him. Verse 18, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 20, They cast him into a pit. Verse 22, Reuben, he said, he told his brothers, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit. They were going to kill Joseph. Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. So all of that treatment by his brothers' family. But Joseph, that's the end of the story. We'll reach the conclusion in Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And then even earlier when Joseph had a child, in Genesis 41, verse 51, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Made me forget. There are some injustices committed against us that we need to forget. We need to forget. The example of Jesus on the cross, Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. One of the merciful things about God is that He's built within you and me and all of us the ability to forgive and forget. And forget. God's also gracious in opening doors for our future. So don't waste time in saying, if only. If only. The expressions we use in life is water under the bridge. It's milk that's been spilled. You can't collect it. It's feathers that's been blown into the wind. Gone. Replace those negative words with next time. In our prayers, we need to say, thank you, God, for forgiving me. And now, God, would you help me to forget the event? Once you pray for God to forgive you, it's done. Stop reminding God of the things that you've done or did 30 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. If you came to God the right way, it's done with God. Not that God has a bad memory when He says, I'll not remember your sins no more. It's just God has that ability to take it away and put it out of His mind. So don't keep saying, forgive me, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Once you come to God with the right attitude and the right way, next time, I'll know. Help me forget, God, because I had trouble forgetting what I did. But thank you for forgiving me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So that's the lesson. If only. And next time. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. And to keep it too long, my clock has stopped. So. If only that clock before. If only we had a preacher clock. So, again, always it's good to get together. It really is. And appreciate your attendance very, very much. But at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. He's going to say the Savior's invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and find rest unto your souls. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. And Dennis, what was that number again?
493.
Let's stand together. And if you need to respond in a public way, why don't you do so while we're singing this song, to simply let your request be known. If you want your brother for spread.